Okay, so we're doing Chazara, a quick Chazara mitzvah Hashem. Chof Zayin Omud Beis says the Mishnah. Ve'elu hein hakroivin. These are the relatives that would all be posel le'edus. Ochiv, achi oviv, achi imoy, his own brother or his parents' brother. Ubal achoisoi, his sister's husband. All the husband of his parent's sister. Ubal imoy, his mother's husband, meaning the second husband. The chomov v'gisoy, father-in-law, brother-in-law. In all of those cases, says the Mishnah, hein ubnehen v'chasonehen. All of those cases applies not only to them, but also their children and children-in-law. The only exception is v'chorgoy levadoy. When it comes to a stepson, then he himself is possible, but not the next generation. Omar Rabbi Yossi Zu Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi says all of that which we just now learned is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Aval Mishnah Rishayna, but there's an earlier opinion, a Hiru, that said that Doi Doi, Uben Doi Doi, V'kol Ha'ro'u L'yorshoi, V'kol Ha'koroi. It's got to be a cousin or an uncle. It's got to be somebody who is an inheritor. As opposed to, we'll see later on in the Gemara, a brother-in-law who's not an inheritor would not be considered posel le'edus. So we have two opinions. The first opinion, the first list, does not specify that it has to be somebody who is an inheritor. The second opinion says it does. Hoya koroiv v'nisrachik, harizeh kosher. So we saw this yesterday. If somebody was originally a koroiv but no longer is because their wife died, for example, then they would now be considered kosher. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, afilu meisabitoi. Even if the daughter died, so you might think, therefore, the son-in-law is not related. It's not true. V'yeshloi bonim imeno harizeh koroiv. They still consider, they retain that family relationship. Ho'oyev v'hasoyne, this we saw yesterday. What is an oyev, what is a soyne? Ho'oyev zeh shushbinoi. We saw two opinions in the Gemara. Is it for 7 days of the Shabrach? Is it just for the Chuppah? And a soyne is kol shaloi diber imoi shloisha yomim be'evo. If they haven't spoken for 3 days, but not because they didn't meet each other, but rather because they're angry with each other. Omaleinu lo yinechshud v'yisrael alkach. Klal Yisrael would not be suspect just because there is an oyev or an asayne of giving false testimony. Says the Gemara, Mino Anamili, the Tana Rabbonon, unbelievable, everything was all learned from one pasuk. Loi, Yumsu, Ovois, Albonim. Literally translated, the fathers should not die as a result of the children. Ma Talmud Lema. What is that coming to teach us? Im Lelameid, Shaloi, Yumsu, Ovois, Ba'avoin bonim. If the issue is not testimony, but rather it is as a result of the averus, is that what the pasuk is telling you? That fathers would not die as a result of the avera of children. Ubonim ba'avoin ovois. That can't be. Hari kvar nema. We have a pasuk to teach us that already. It says ish b'chetoi yumasu. Every person only dies as a result of his own chet. So I surely don't need another pasuk to teach me that a father doesn't die as a result of the children's averus. So what must it be teaching me? Elo yumsu ovis abonim be'edus bonim. Underline the word be'edus. The subject is not, will a father die as a result of the avera of the bonim, but rather will he die as a result of the edus of the bonim. And that's what the Torah is saying, that you can't. Ubonim lo yumsu al ovois, meaning be'edus ovois. Says the Gemara, ubonim ba'avoin ovois loy. Do children indeed not die as a result of the averas of the fathers? Doesn't it say, v'oksiv, poiked ovoin ovois al bonim? The averas of the ovois will befall the children. The answer is, hosam kesho'oichazin maise avoisein biyodehen. That's only if they continue deliberately in the wicked path of their fathers. So they've chosen to continue that path, so then they'd have to suffer for the father's averus as well. But the normal rule is that no, nobody suffers for anybody else's averus. Kedatanya, va'af ba'avoinois avoisom atom yimoku kasha oichazin ma'ase avoisem biyodem. Ata oima, is that what you're telling me? Kasha oichazin, oyeino yalo kasha eino oichazin. Maybe even if they're not oichaz, maybe any son has to suffer the consequences of the father's averus. Can't be. Kishahu oimer ish pechetoi yumasu, hare kisha oichazin, maase avoisein biodein. Ask the Gemara v'loi. Really, is it not true to say that one can suffer for somebody else's averus? V'oksiv, v'koshlu ish ba'ov ichiv ish ba'ovoin ochiv. That a person sometimes has to suffer as a result of his brother's avera. Question marks. You see that one does have to take responsibility for others, and one might have to be punished as a result of somebody else's averas, says the Gemara. Very scary. That's talking about where you could have done something about it. You could have protested, and you didn't protest. So the lack of protesting means you have a part in the avera. A very scary halacha. Clearly one needs very, very careful guidelines. In fact, I was just asked a shayla this week, a very sad shayla, by a 18-year-old girl who said, what should I do? I have a father who's in his 50s, and I see and I know that in the home, he's very busy on his phone, accessing sites that he should not be accessing, to put it mildly. What am I supposed to be doing? So this might be relevant to the Gemara that we just learned now. On the one hand, we would say, you're not responsible for your father's averus. On the other hand, didn't the Gemara just say that if you can make a protest and you don't protest, then you're considered party to the avera? Maybe they'll be held accountable. Very, very, very difficult situation.
I mean, that's a heavy case, but I feel like it can be endless. I mean, every time you see someone speaking in shul, you're supposed to shush them?
Very good question. So the best solution is come and daven in our shul, because there's no talking in shul. That's the easy answer. So I once asked this through Nosson Kopschitz. I once asked this to my Rebbe of Nosson Kopschitz. Like you said, it's an endless pit, and maybe you should go around looking at shul. Somebody asked him, you know, sometimes you notice that somebody's tefillin are not quite straight. So maybe I should go around spending my whole davening checking whose tefillin are straight. Sometimes you see somebody sitting down and the tzitzis of his talus are dragging on the floor. So maybe I should go around correcting for that. In fact, I'll be so busy correcting people that I don't have time to take care of myself. And he answered, like you said, in Cain, ein la dovar soif. Ein la dovar soif. So we cannot be held responsible for something which there's just no end. But here, in the situation that I was asked, which is a very specific situation, a very tragic situation, where this girl asked me the question, and she was literally, tears were in her eyes as she asked this question. Well, what am I supposed to be doing? She's an excellent girl in a very good school here in Beit Shemesh. My father's up to all his misdemeanors. What am I supposed to be doing? I don't want it in the house. I certainly don't want to have anything to do with it. Should I say something? Should I not say something? It might backfire. It might make the whole relationship strained. It's a very, very, very difficult situation.
So what did you tell her?
I told her what the Gemara says in Yevamos. The Gemara says in Yevamos, just like there's a mitzvah to say that which will be listened to, there is also a mitzvah to not say that which will be not listened to. In other words, it depends on your relationship, it depends on the situation. Your job, I said to her, is not to educate your father. Now, I said, certainly if your father starts inviting you to be part of all of this, then absolutely you have every right, and not just every right, it's the correct thing to do, to say, I'm sorry, with all due respect, I don't have any part of this. I'm not judging you, but I personally cannot do this. But with regard to whether you can or can't make a protest, depends on your relationship, depends whether he's likely to listen. And if not, then not only will it not improve the situation, it might make it worse. It might cause terrible tension in the home and he might force it. Who knows what can happen? So I said, I have to throw the ball back in your court and it will depend on that.
She could have problems getting shidduchim as a result of
right.
it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But that's why it's a very delicate situation. Again,
Rebbe, it should,
problems in shidduchim, but we don't know what the alternative is. If she makes a protest, it might get even worse and she'll have even more problems in shidduchim. So this is true for all mitzvahs of teichacha. It's very, very difficult. The mitzvah of teichacha, of giving a rebuke, making a protest, is one of the hardest mitzvahs to be mekayim. Because not only do you have to be fully confident that you're doing so l'shem shomayim, number one. Number two, you also have to be confident that you're doing it in a way that it's likely to be accepted. But if it's not l'shem shomayim, number one, or it's not going to be accepted, it's going to be ridiculed and maybe just made worse, then you'd be better off keeping silent.
I mean, Shmiras HaLashon, the Chafetz Chaim talks about it. Yeah. People understood what Lashon Hara is. Like if you saw someone eating, a treif hot dog, you would not say anything and say, by the way, do you realize that this place is not kosher, Lagamre? And say, oh my God. So here's a situation, you know, we all speak Lashon Hara. Like it's like slips through our mouth like it's nothing. So it's the same situation. The fact that it's such a embarrassing thing that he's doing, that makes make it worse. But these things happen all day, every day.
Right. But unfortunately, the reality is, if I would go up to somebody and I would say, hey, quick, stop, 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 stop. That cucumber you're about to eat, I think might be poisonous. Right? He wouldn't stop thanking me. Why? You saved my life. Well, now go to the same person and say, stop, stop, stop. I think what you're about to say is Lashon Hara. Oh, who do you think you are? Mind your own business. You know better than me. What do you mean? I'm just here to save your life. That's all. That's the reality. If I'm pointing out that there's poison in your cucumber, then it's not personal, so I'm happy to take it. If I'm telling you that you speak Lashon Hara, so number one, it's personal. And number two, you're telling me that I'm not a good guy, so just I quickly go on the defensive. Oh, you know better, and everybody does, and who are you to tell me? Like, okay, I'm just here to save my life, here to save your life. Al kaponim, a very, very tragic shaila that I was asked on Monday evening. Okay, back to our question, back to our sugya. Top line. Ashkechon, says the Gemara, we have now found, based on the psukim, it turns out that when it says lo yumsu avos albonim, the general rule, as we've seen, there are exceptions, but the general rule is that a parent does not die as a result of the children's averas, the children does not die as a result of the parents' averas. We had two exceptions, either because you could have protested or because you are continuing their evil ways. But that's the general rule. And therefore, what did the Torah mean? It meant you cannot die, not as a result of the Avera, as a result of the testimony of children. Says the Gemara, Ashkechon ovois labonim, ubonim la ovois, v'kol shekein ovois lahadodi. If you remember, we explained, Rashi explained, that the word ovois over here, and Rashi already told us earlier, is not just referring to father and child, because a person doesn't have two ovois, doesn't have two fathers. So Elamai is referring to uncles. Obviously, fathers are included, but a father or an uncle, all of those apostles. So that we know. Says the Gemara, but what about bonim lebonim? What does it mean, bonim lebonim? The children of Reuven to the children of Shimon, meaning first cousins. How do you know that they're also apostle? Minolon, question mark. How do you know? And the Mishnah clearly told us that your uncle is apostle and so are his children, which means your first cousin. Well, we haven't yet seen a source for that in the Pasuk yet. Says the Gemara, Imkein, Lichtoiv Kra, because then the Torah could have written, Lo Yumsu Ovois Al Ben. In the singular, my bonim, quote unquote. Why is it written in the plural? Dafilu bonim lahadodi. That extra word is even their children, their respective children, Reuven and his brother Shimon, both of their children, apostle for each other. Says the Gemara, Ashkechon bonim lahadodi. So I understand that the two bonim, the two cousins, cannot testify about each other. But what about bonim la'alma? What about the two cousins, not about each other, but with each other, but la'alma, to testify about somebody else? Can two cousins team up to be a group of edus, not to testify against or for each other, but rather to testify with each other? We haven't yet a source for that. Says the Gemara, here comes the Pasuk. Omaram bahama svarahu. It's a svara. Kedatani with a brisa. Ein ho'edim nasim zoimimin ad sheyuzmu shneim. Didn't we say, in the case of edim zoimimin, they'll only be considered zoimimin if they're both considered, both proven to be wrong. Now, v'isal kedatach bonim la'al makshirin. If you're going to tell me that two cousins can gang up and testify together, and only if both of them are proven to be zomimin will they be punished, so ultimately my brother's or cousin's false testimony is incriminating me as well, and that can't be. Nimtza eid zomim nerag be'edus achiv. So it turns out that the eid zomim is being killed as a result of his brother's edus, because as we said, it's only if the brother is also proven to be false testimony will the other brother also be killed. And that can't be. So it must be that they're never allowed to be a team in the first place. Omale rovo letameich. One second, if you follow that reasoning. Hod etnan. Didn't we learn in a Mishnah, shloisha achin ve'echod mitstaref imohen? Remember, you can have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, three brothers. Each one of them testifies with some other guy called Chaim about 1 year of the three-year chazoka process, which is fine because none of the brothers are testifying about the same year. Haru elu gimel edus, but vehein edus achas lahazama. But with regard to zaymamin, then I consider them one group, and none of them will be punished unless all of them are proved to be zaymamin. Oh, so why don't you say it's the same problem? Nimso eid zaymim shalim mammon beedus echov. So it turns out that Eid Zoyim is going to have to pay out money as a result of his brother's false testimony. How can that be? The answer must be, Ela hazama mi'alma ka'asi. The answer is, no, my brother is not incriminating me. Who's incriminating me? It's this outside party that have come and claimed that you are with us. Is hochanami hazama mi'alma ka'asi. So too in our case, in the case of Eid Zoyim, the same would be true. And therefore, we don't really yet have a source. How do I know that two cousins can't, or two brothers can't testify, not for or against each other, but with each other? Says the Gemara, it's a pasuk. Hello, rather, in Cain, you're right. I cannot prove it just based on logic, but I can, based on a pasuk. Lichtoiv kro uben al ovis. Remember it says, lo yumsu ovis al bonim, ubonim al ovis. So why does it have to say the second pasuk in the plural? It could have just said Ubein alovis or Inami Heim alovis, my Ubonim, quote unquote, Afilu Bonim La Alma, period. So for the extra posuk, I learned the extra din, which is that even Bonim who want to testify La Alma, what does it mean La Alma? Not that they want to testify for or against each other, but rather they want to testify with each other. The extra posuk tells me that's Osir as well. Says the Gemara, Ashkechan Kreve Ho'av. Because all of this was based on the Pasuk of Ovois. So we explained that Ovois doesn't just mean your father, it means your father's brother. But what about your mother's brother? Kreve Ho'ein Minalon, Omakra, Ovois, Ovois, Trezimni. Again, it's all at the Pasuk. This word Ovois is written twice. Imeino Inyan Le Kreve Ho'av. If I don't need it, the second one for Kreve Ho'av, because I've already learned that from the first one, is Tenehu Inyan Lekreve Ho'ein. So the extra pasuk tells me not only my paternal relations, but also my maternal relations. In both cases, they will be pasuk. Ashkechon Lechoiva. So all of that is talking about La Yumsu, when you're trying to incriminate Choiv. But how about Zchus Minalon? How do I know that you cannot testify not only against, but also for? Omakra yumsu, yumsu. Again, another X word. It says the word dying twice. Hare tre zimni im eni eni lechoiva. Therefore, you cannot testify against a relation, you cannot testify for a relation, the kitsa, or with a relation, for, against, or with. Says the Gemara, Ashkechom b'dinei nefashis. All of this is to do with dying. So obviously it's only in cases of life or death. B'dinei mamamonos min olam. How do I know that the same would apply also in the cases of financial issues? Omar kro, mishpot echod yeh lochem. There's one mishpot, uniform, mishpot hashove lochem, period. So it's going to be one mishpot that applies across the board, whether it's nefoshes or momonos, the same applies, and that is, you cannot testify for, against, or with relations. Very, very easy, standard rule across the board. Okay, says the Gemara, Omar Rav. Remember Rav's statement. Remember, Rav was the one who introduced us to the whole Shlishi Berishon concept. Rav is the one who said, just to remind ourselves, about the great uncle rule, which we did not see in the Mishnah, at least not explicitly. Says the Gemara, Rav, Omar Rav, Achi Abba, the brother of my father, Lo Yoidli, cannot testify against me. Fine, that we know. That's beforeish in the Mishnah. Hu ubeno yochasarei, so to his children and son-in-law, that we've seen in the Mishnah. That's not Rav's chiddush, but here comes the chiddush. Afani lo yoid loy, neither can I testify by my uncle, ani ubeni vechasonoi, and also my son and son-in-law. So my son cannot testify about my uncle, which means a great uncle. Oh, says the Gemara, what's going on? Vamai. Havalei shlishi berishoin. That's generation three. So generation one. Who says that's possible? Va'anan. Sheni b'sheni tanan. What's a sheni b'sheni? Two cousins. They're both on generation two. Or a sheni berishon tanan. Generation two to generation one, an uncle or a nephew. But shlishi berishon lo itnan, question mark. We have never learned in the Mishnah that a shlishi berishon is osir as well. All it said is that my uncle, I cannot testify by my uncle or his son or son-in-law. That's all. Sheni b'sheni, but not shlishi berishon. Says the Gemara, my chasonoi dektoni b'masnisin. When it says chasonoi, it means chasan benoi. When it says my uncle or his son-in-law, it means my uncle's son's son-in-law. So it really has gone all the way down to the third generation. V'lisni ben benoi. So why does it have to say son-in-law? Why can't I just say a son of his son? Why can't I say my uncle and his son and that and his son as well? Teretz is trying to teach me a side, chidush. Milse agav urche kamash malon. The Baal Ke'ishtai. It's telling you that the son-in-law is treated exactly the same as the son because he's like his wife. The Elo, ho the Tony Rebchia Shmoina Ovoi Shein Esrim Ba'arbo. Eight relations, which really comes to 24. What's going on? Hanitzlosim Vataratin. It really should be 32 now, because if you tell me that it always goes down to the next generation, so for every relative, it's always plus the son, plus the son-in-law, plus the next generation as well. So it's not 8 times 3, it should be 8 times 4. Says the Mora, you're right. Third generation is not. La'oilom chasonoi mamish. You're right, you're right. When it says chasonoi in the Mishnah, does not mean third generation. V'amai korolei chasan benoi, kevan demi alma ka'osi k'doir acher domi. Because he's not a natural child, he's your uncle's son-in-law. He's not your uncle's son. So he's that much further removed than your uncle's son. So I'm going to consider as if he's the next generation. But he's not really the next generation, but that would be the source. Now, if you want to testify about your uncle's son-in-law who we're considering a third generation, then that's not Shlishi Barishon, that's Shlishi Bashin. I'm generation two and he's three. Asks the Gemara, Yachi, Havalei Shlishi Basheni? The Rav Achsha Shlishi Basheni. Even Rav, who's a big machmeh, he only said you can't have a Shlishi Barishon, but he never said anything wrong with a Shlishi Basheni. Hello, Rav, the Omar Karebi Alozo. Now we're going to employ Rebbe Loza's rule. Rav is going with Rebbe Loza. He's not going with our Mishnah. You know he's going with? He's going with Rebbe Loza. What did Rebbe Loza say? The Tanya, Rebbe Loza Oyma Kashem, Sha'achi Abo Lo Yoidli. Just like my father's brother cannot testify about me, Hu Ubenoy Chasonoy, Kach Ben Ochi Abo, so too the son of my father's brother, my first cousin, Lo Yoidli, Hu Ubenoy Vechasonoy. So Rebbe Loza clearly holds that even a Shlishi Basheni, my cousin's son, cannot testify about me. That's a Shlishi Basheni. Well, if he holds that a Shlishi Basheni is possible, he certainly holds that a Shlishi Barishon is possible. So we definitely have a source for Rav about a Shlishi Barishon. But one second, Vakati Yavale Shlishi Basheni, V'Rav Achsha Shlishi Basheni. So surely Rav cannot go completely with Rebbe Loza. Says the Gemara, you're right. Rav Savar Lei Kavase B'chada U'Poleg Olei B'chada. So he holds of one of his halachas, he disagrees with the other. So in the final analysis, Rav holds a Shlishi Barishain is possible, but a Shlishi B'sheni is kosher. Rebbe Loza holds that both of them are possible, and Rav goes with one of those halachas. Rav says, I agree with you that a Shlishi Barishain is possible, but that which you hold, a Shlishi B'sheni is possible as well, that I disagree. Says the Gemara, this is all fine and well that we found a source from the Tanoim, but what's the source in the Torah? Says the Gemara, my time derav the Omar Kro lo yumsu ovei salbonim ubonim. The next word ubonim le rabois doiracher. It comes to Imar, but the next doir, it's not just children; it's the next doir, it's the children of the children, generation three. Verbaloza albonim Omar Achmona. Albonim, psule de avois, shodi abonim. Whoever's possible to testify about the father is possible to testify about the children as well. That's how you get to a shlishi b'sheni. Omar Rav Nachman, achi chamoisi. What's achi chamoisi? My mother-in-law's brother. Lo yoedli. Ben Achi Chamoisi, also Lo Yoedli, the son of my mother-in-law's brother, that's my wife's first cousin, Lo Yoedli. Ben Achois Chamoisi, or the son of my mother-in-law's sister, Lo Yoedli as well. V'tona Tuna, we have a braisa that says, Baal Achoisoi, my sister's husband, U'Baal Achois Oviv U'Baal Achois Imoi, or my parents' sister's husband, Heinu B'neinu B'chois U'V'chasneinu. Omar Rav Ashi, ki avinon be'ula. When I was with Ula, I asked the following question. Iboy alon, achi chomiv mahu. What about my father-in-law's brother? Ben achi chomiv mahu, ben achois chomiv mahu. So my father-in-law, my father-in-law's brother, my mother-in-law's brother, their children. What about all of those? Omar le tanisua. Yes, we've learned it. It says Ochiv, v'Ochiv, Achi Oviv, v'Achi Imoy, Heinu B'nein, v'Chasnein. So clearly they're all possible. Says the Gemara, Rav Ikli Lemizban Gvili, turning over the Omot. He wanted to buy some Gvil. Gvil is parchment. And there he asked the following question. Boy Minu, Mau Sheyoid Odom Be'eshes Chorgoy. Is a person allowed to testify about the wife of his stepson? We've got a Mefurash Mishnah that you cannot testify about a stepson. What about the wife of Omri Baal Kishte? Baal Kishte, the husband and wife are treated the same. Upon Badis Omri, Isha Kabailo, husband is like a wife is like the husband. The Omar of Una, Omar of Nach, Nachmanin Shoisha Kabailo the Ksiv, Edu Ervas Achiovicho Loi Sagale, Ishta Loi Sagarva, Doidos Kohi. It calls her your aunt. Now, your father's brother's wife is technically not your aunt. Your aunt is your father's sister, not your father's brother's wife. Hello, what's going on? Surely she is the wife of your husband, but she's not your aunt. Why is the Torah calling you an aunt? Michlal, I learn from over here, the Ishoka Baila. I see Klaito over here, that's all the same. Your aunt, your uncle's wife, it's all the same thing. This is the Makoyer of the principle, the Isha Kabaila. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Miss Hashem, next time, which will be on Sunday, Abba Aleinu L'Teva, we'll resume our Chazara. We should easily reach the Mishnah, and Be'ez Hashem will start the Mishnah as well.